I would like to start today with a question for you. Raise your hand if you have ever played hide and seek. Oh my goodness, it's everybody. We don't have an awful lot of young people here, but I would point out that, believe it or not, this is what we did for fun as kids before the internet. Right? We played outside all the time. Now, if you will please indulge me, close your eyes. Imagine, if you will, and remember your favorite hide-and-seek spot. I, of course, am sitting in the dark next to the hide-and-seek tree because I'm it. We were very serious about our hide-and-seek back in those days. And I remember the very slow count to 10, and then the speeding up and the speeding up as you get closer to 100 until finally it's 80, 90, 100. And then come the ever famous, "Ready or not, here I come." And then I would tear off from the tree and search everywhere for my hidden friends. All right, if you haven't opened your eyes, you can do that now. We find ourselves here on this first Sunday of Advent at the end of Matthew's Gospel. How was that for a reading? I want to set the stage a little bit. I'd like to talk about Matthew's audience and their mindset. The book of Matthew has an end time orientation. It's often known as the little apocalypse. For Matthew, history is divided into two ages. The old age is marked by the presence of Satan and the demons, and by idolatry, sin, injustice, exploitation, sickness, enmity between nature and humankind, violence, and death. The present evil age of Matthew sounds a lot like our present evil age. So we have a lot in common. The new age will be characterized by the complete rule of God and the angels, and by authentic worship, forgiveness, mutual support, health, blessing between nature and humankind, and eternal life. In the new age, Jesus will return bringing peace and the fulfillment of the realm of God. However, what has happened for Matthew's folks is his flock was losing confidence that this realm of God was actually going to be coming their way. The apocalypse was delayed. Their witness was fading. So Matthew was encouraging them. This is encouragement, right? Matthew was clearly not a big believer in the power of positive thinking. Now, I do want to address, because I know that this scripture, you might have been worried when you heard the scripture first, that there's a popular misinterpretation of this passage that can be found in what's commonly referred to as rapture theology. And this ever-popular Left Behind series of books and movies, if you're familiar with them at all. If you thought you were coming today to be told you better accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and if you don't, you will be left behind, then you'll be disappointed. Because this is not what Matthew is about here. Unfortunately, Matthew's eschatologies do not contain the detailed timeline scenarios of premillennialism. How's that for a mouthful? So basically, this means that if this were premillennialism, if this were rapture theology, then there would be a very detailed timeline as to when and where all of this was taking place and how. And we don't have that here. So, unfortunately, this doesn't warn of a future rapture where believers are airlifted out of the world while everyone else faces tribulation. Thank God. But Matthew's lesson comes with four examples, which are very strongly stated. He really, really wanted to get his point across. So the first example is the days of Noah. Everyone was going about their daily lives, marrying, eating, drinking, being merry. They knew nothing of future events until suddenly here came the flood. I can't imagine. That must have been terrifying. I think all these scenarios are terrifying, to be truthful. Can you imagine living in Noah's time? This guy is building this gargantuan ark and filling it with animals, and then without warning, here comes this flood. The second and third example are similar. Two people working in a field and suddenly one is taken. Two women grinding meal together and one is taken. It's hard to imagine. I think of working in the kitchen with my sister and then all of a sudden, poof, she's gone. Notice it's her and not me that's gone. Not sure how that happened. But it would be terrifying, absolutely terrifying. And the fourth and final example, the homeowner who did not know when and where a thief was coming, or else the homeowner could have prevented the theft. If you've ever had your home broken into, I'm sure you know the fear and anger that this instills in you. Imagine if you knew when the thief was coming and you could have prevented it. But the point is that we don't know. Unfortunately, we do not know the day or the hour. So be prepared, stay awake, stay alert, keep your eyes peeled. Now, we modern Christians, as it were, tend to see this apocalyptic language as part of a first century view that is no longer ours and no longer relevant. I would assert that we have much to learn from Matthew and his people. Now, we modern Christians do not necessarily anticipate a singular event that will transform our world, although I think we hope for it secretly. But instead, we live our lives believing that God is constantly luring the world toward realm qualities. It's an ongoing process that we're called to be part of. We are most certainly called each and every day, and especially at Advent, we are called to participate with God in bringing about this realm-like life. We are called each and every day to participate with God in bringing about the realm-like life. Well, we, the people of First Baptist Church, find ourselves in a precarious position on this first Sunday of Advent. We are currently without pastoral leadership, yet we have found ourselves rich with talent and leadership in both preaching and leading worship, you might have noticed lately, and folks who are completing the daily work of the church. Everyone is stepping up. God is calling us as we enter this season. God is calling us to prepare our hearts, minds, and souls, to be always ready for God's entrance into our world, as we never know when that will be and what shape that will take. Have you ever heard of the tradition of setting a place for Elijah? I think it goes back a very, very long time. And the idea is that you should always set an extra place setting at your table when you're having a meal, because you never know when a stranger or someone you don't know might show up and need a meal. The prophet Elijah, even, or a stranger or a neighbor, may be hungry. So set an extra place for them in case they show up. You never know. Well, if you were coming to church today looking for something happy, warm, and Christmassy, you might have come to the wrong place. What is the truth here that we are called to face? Matthew is plain and simply a warning against complacency. This is a call to obedience. Stay awake. Make preparations. God is counting to 100, and we don't know how fast God is counting, but ready or not, God is coming. So be vigilant. Don't postpone fulfilling your commitment to be the person God aspires you to be. Let's not postpone fulfilling our commitment to be the church God aspires us to be. Unfortunately, we are not insulated from an uncertain future, but we do have God's promise that we will not face that future, uncertain as it is. We will not face it alone. The true work of Advent is the move from fear to faith. Jesus calls the disciples and empowers them to witness faithfully to God's ultimate purpose of love, peace, joy, and abundance. So, I ask you, what evidence is there that we, First Baptist Church, are participating with God in bringing about this realm-like life? What do we see when we look out over this congregation? I see a lot, and I want to point out just a few things that we see when we look out at our church congregation. The first thing I see when entering the parking lot is a shower. It's in our parking lot for anyone to use at any time. We see an awning that covers countless homeless friends as they sleep there during the nights. We see our church being used as a shelter from the storm during the winter months. We just hosted a warming shelter a couple weeks ago. I'm sure we'll be hosting another. We see a permanent slot at Hope Clinic where we have the privilege of serving food to countless souls who count on us being there every third Thursday. We see a choir loft that holds the voices of angels that provide the gift of God's love to us through music. We see countless mission opportunities that we support in the world and in this community. What else do you see? There's so much to see, and yet so much more we could see. I'm always delighted to see a congregation full of our future, of children eager to hear about God's boundless love. What a joy that is to see. We see individuals living out their personal lives of faith with truth and dignity. We see countless possibilities that only require our imagination. We see person after person who loves this church and loves our God and wants to follow in the path that is carved out for us alone. There's so much to see, and yet so much more we could see. So when God comes into our midst, ready or not, I know that this congregation will be ready because we live God's truth in our actions and in our hearts. Let us pray. Dear God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths untrodden through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.